heaven as those that have overcome. Praise the Lord. How many members, Brother Combs, testifying? Pray for me. I want to be an overcomer. You want to be an overcomer tonight? Amen. Let's read tonight. You can just remain seated for this verse. But 2 Timothy 1 and 7, and this is on the slides, Brother. There it is. I'm not seeing what you're seeing, so here we go. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Tonight I want to talk about overcoming fear. Overcoming fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. You know our hearts. You searched us and you've known us. And you remember our frame, God, and you desire nothing but to help us, Lord. Minister through the teaching of the word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Aunt Mills' Uncle Renzo, we always like to go see him. He owned the top of this mountain down there in Arkansas, way back in the sticks. You burst your tires trying to get up there on the big old rocks. But I remember in particular one time as a young boy went up to visit. He had just cleared some fields and he had all these piles of the leftover wood. And those that's been around farms, you know what I'm talking about. And it was happening. He was burning those that first night of our visit. And I'll tell you what, it's probably the same in Kentucky, Tennessee. But you get somebody that's been raised in them thar hills, and you get them around a campfire at night, and they can tell some spooky stories. And Uncle Renzo was telling stories about witches and all kinds of things in the hills, you know, the things that happened and all the strange things. And as a young child, I mean, my eyes kept getting bigger and bigger. My brothers did too, and he could tell we were scared, and someone was talking about being afraid. And then Uncle Renzo made a statement. He said, "I don't know what fear is." He said, "I don't know what fear is." Ran over all over those hills all his life in the dark, you know. And I've come to the conclusion as an adult, he didn't know what fear was. He probably experienced it. He just didn't know that that was fear. What he was talking about is being startled or being frightened of things in the night. But I am sure that somehow or the other, if he really knew what fear was, he had experienced fear. I believe all folks experience fear. So why are we talking about overcoming fear tonight? I think it's because somewhere or the other, we all have a battle with this fear for some reason or another, for some occasion or the other. And you see, fear, the Bible says, torments. If you're battling with fear, you're battling with torment. Fear paralyzes. There's folks that be doing something for God tonight. They would have testified tonight. They would have done something tonight. But fear kept them from it because fear paralyzes. Fear repels faith. Fear will drain the joy right out of your soul and your experience with God. It'll exclude peace from your living. And more importantly, fear will keep someone from knowing and doing the will of God. I have never understood why a believer would want to watch a horror movie. I really don't think believers have any reason or right to be watching horror movies. Why? Because fear isn't what God has for us. And beyond that, on horror movies, the root of the fear is usually evil and wickedness and the occultic things that God has forbidden. And let me just say, young people, you don't have any business watching horror movies. Fear is not of God. God doesn't want us to have fear. He wants us to be encouraged. Amen. You know, some jump right to fear is sin. Fear is sin. But I don't think it's quite that simple. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is all fear bad? Is all fear wrong? Is all fear sin? Well, most of us know that fear is the way God has made us. In times of danger, fear will cause us either to fight or flight. Can you tell which dog is afraid? Which dog is a scaredy cat? Fear is a natural thing that causes us to fight or flight or even freeze sometimes. Amen. What if you didn't have fear of fire? Fear of snakes, fear of dark alleys, fear of leaning over the edge of tall cliffs. I think fear is a part that is something that God has given us by which we protect and take care of ourselves and others, or those that we are, our family, and those that we are responsible for. But you see, there are different kinds of fear. I think that's why some people just jump to it and say, well, if you got fear, you're sinning. They jump to it. First of all, there's instinct. And that's what I've just been talking about. It's an instinct. Years ago, I was fishing on the North Canadian River. And it looks, it's just muddy. I mean, you can't imagine unless you've seen some Oklahoma rivers and ponds. It's just muddy. And I was standing on that old slick clay bank and fishing out in the water, and I just reeled in my reel. And I think I got a picture here, Brother Michael. I just reeled in my reel, and I looked down, and there was a water moccasin right there. And without thinking, I took that fishing rod and began to flail that snake. Just wham, 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 wham. I mean, when I got through, that expensive fishing rod was just all splintered. I didn't have time for my mind to say, if you hit that snake with that fishing rod, you're going to ruin your good fishing rod, and you're going to ruin your... It was instinct. I saw the snake, and I started hitting it with what was in my hand. That kind of fear is instinct that God has given us to protect ourselves. Another kind of fear is an instinct, but it's caution. Caution. Give me the next picture here. I'm afraid of that. How many knows what that is? I use these quite frequently, used to work using one, and I'm afraid of that. So am I sinning because I'm afraid of that? I mean, I worked for a little bit in an industry that those other folks that were in the industry, you'd meet them at the lumber yard, and there'd be missing fingers. And they'd all have their table saw story. And every time I'm running a board along that fence through there, I feel fear. It's a caution. That kind of fear is good. And another kind of fear is the fear of the supernatural and or the unknown. I'm telling you, the supernatural things can bring fear, or the unknown things. Even death can bring fear because of its unknown. Give me the next picture. Does anyone know what this is? Philip knows. What is it, Philip? It's the spook light. You are correct. It's the spook light. On the border of Missouri and Oklahoma, not far out in the Neosho, there's a road, and they closed it in recent years. I heard they reopened it. And you can go and sit on this road. Now, you can understand the road is like this, just curves like this. And you can sit there and turn out your headlights, and this light appears just like you're seeing it here in the distance. And even though the road's going up and down, it comes straight at you, straight at you, straight at you, straight at you. And then it has done strange things. It'll disappear and immediately be a mile or so back coming at you again, or it'll split up. And I'm a real skeptical person, but I have seen it on two or three occasions. And I tell you, when you see that thing floating at you out of the darkness, and it's been there before white people were even in this country, when you see that white eerie light floating at you down the road out of the darkness, it frightens you. One time we took a carload of young ladies out there, and right when that light got close to us, a coon hunter stepped out of the woods with his coon dogs. You talk about screaming and hollering and diving into the car. We have a fear of the supernatural and the unknown. Another kind of fear is reverence and respect. You see, if fear was sin, why does the Bible tell us to fear God? How many knows we are to fear God? It's because that's not a bad kind of fear, that reverence and respect that you feel in the presence of greatness or the presence of power. You know, some folks say, I'd like to tell the president a thing or two. Most of us, if we were actually in the presence of the president because of his position, we would be overcome with fear. And I know fear is a strange thing. Some people get afraid and they just start talking nonstop. I remember one time, me and two other guys, we were walking down the railroad tracks this way, and as we were coming this way, three other guys were coming this way, and when they got right past us, one of them threw a rock and broke out a window out of a house along the railroad tracks. We got to the end of the railroad tracks where the road intersected, and there was a cop car sitting there. Get in the car, he said. Boys, get in here. Three of us slid in the back seat, and he said, we just got a call that three boys threw rocks and busted out a window down here, and we're going to take you down to the house to identify you so they can identify you. Well, I knew we hadn't done it, but as soon as I sat down in the back seat of that police car, I started talking. Bah, 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 bah. And one of my friends elbowed me and said, you're going to get us thrown into prison. Shut up. We got there, and this lady came out, and by looking at her, she looked blind. And I said, she's going to identify us? I said, we're done for. I really wasn't afraid of the police. I was afraid of when I got home is what I was afraid of. But I just started talking. Others, when they get afraid, they clam up. But I'm pretty sure if you got in the presence of someone like the president, there'd be a fear. I'm telling you, when I come in the presence of God, I love him and I know he loves me, but there's a fear that comes in my heart. Even John, the Revelator, said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. In other words, John, the Revelator, when he saw the Lord, he was full of fear. Amen. Jesus even encourages this kind of fear. He says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And so all fear isn't sin. There's good fear and fear that's appropriate and right. You see, that's because there is well-founded fear and foundationless fear. Let me talk about a well-founded fear. Well-founded fear. Just about 3 years ago, I was on Interstate 70 in Indiana, and I was in the passing lane. There was a car behind me, and there was a semi right beside me. And all of a sudden, he started coming over. Wasn't time to hit the brakes or anything. He didn't see me there. He just came over in that passing lane. And if I had been looking off out the window or looking down, that'd been it. I'd been gone. But here he comes right over. Next thing I knew, I just jerked it, went going 70 miles an hour. There I go through the median, right between the lanes. He didn't even act like he even knew. He ran me off the road. Well, at the time, I felt pretty calm. I just reacted, and I got it back on the road. But you know what happened a mile later? I realized what about happened. Now, that's a foundationless fear. I mean, that's a fear you ought to have. That's not the fear we're talking about overcoming. The fear we're talking about overcoming is foundationless fear. Foundationless fear. Bring that next picture up. We're a little behind. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Would you be afraid of that? Let me ask you. Anybody afraid of that? No one afraid of that? Someone said, okay. I'm telling you one time, that right there frightened me out of my skin. When Ashton and Micah were really small, they got several balloons, and I don't know if it was exactly this kind. It might have been the latex kind. I don't know. It was happy birthday balloons. And I was always real cautious. And they had helium. You know, they're floating around the room. And so we put them to bed. I thought, what if one of those loses helium in the night and comes down and lands on their nose and they suffocate? So I said, I know what I'll do. And I gathered up those balloons, and I walked out of their bedroom, through the kitchen, and then off the kitchen was the utility room, and I opened the door, and I shoved them in the utility room and shut the door. I went to bed, and the middle of the night, this beagle I had, that's another story, bark, 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 bark. About 2 in the morning, I couldn't take it any longer. So I ran in there, and I grabbed me a newspaper, and I wasn't going to read it, but you'll have to figure out what it was for. I wrote it up. And I was going to go out the back door and get the dog to stop barking. But I forgot about those balloons. So I'm running through the dark house, and I come through the kitchen, and I open that utility door, and I jerked it open. And how many knows what happens when you jerk a door open? The suction. And out of the darkness, eye level, comes this balloon. I thought it was somebody. I screamed like a woman. It was a balloon. A balloon. Is there any reason to be afraid of a balloon? You know, we find out a lot of our fears that we're really fearful of are like that. Amen? There's really, and that is what God wants us to overcome. Who's afraid of this? The next one. Who's afraid of a church? Can you imagine that there are people that are afraid of church? I'm not talking about afraid of coming to church and hearing the gospel. I'm talking about there would be many folks that if I said tonight, hey, why don't you just spend the night on one of these pews and we'll turn out the lights and go home? How many just be real honest? Confession's good for the soul. You're afraid of an empty, dark church. A church? Are you serious? You're afraid of a church? We're talking about overcoming fear. What is fear? I need to crank it up here. My wife will tell. Go skip that. That's out. Anyway, what is fear? Fear is a heightened emotion experienced in anticipation of danger, pain, or unpleasantness. Your emotions are suddenly heightened because you think you're in danger. You think you're going to have pain. That's really not what so much we're talking about. What we're talking about is a phobia. A phobia is a Greek word for an irrational or groundless fear. I was in a hurry and forgot to bring it, but today I printed out 10 pages of phobias. I was going to see how many you had. 10 pages of phobias. Some people have a phobia of needles. How many knows what Brother Brian's phobia is? Clowns. So get some balloons with clown faces on them. Because it's fun. All right. Phobias. Groundless fear. Or let's put it this way. A phobia is a faithless fear. And this is the fear that we're going to deal with. This is the fear that can lead to sin. 1 out of 10 people have diagnosable phobias. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1 out of 10 people have phobias. The rest of us have bouts with fear, whether it's natural fears or social fears. You say, I'm not afraid of anything. Would you like to come and take this microphone? And how many would be afraid of that? Some. Okay. Social fear. Financial fears. Anyone want to be honest? Financial fears. Financial fears. Educational fears. Relationship fears. But Jesus gave us a command to not fear over and over and over. He gave us a commandment. Fear not. Fear not. How many believes God doesn't want us to fear? Why did Jesus, go back just one, why did Jesus give us a commandment not to fear? Is it because people are big sissies? Is it because people are big sinners? No, it's because we as fallen humans living in a fallen world continually face fear. We have the fear of the past catching up with us, and we have the fear of the future going to get the best of us when we get there. Amen. You know, we have that fear. And Jesus says to us, amen, fear not. You know, we grew up on the little nursery rhyme or the little story about the three pigs, and they would sing. How many remembers what they'd sing? You don't have to sing, but how many remembers what the three pigs sang? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? And we're taught that as children, and then we find we've grown up and we're still afraid of the big bad wolf. And Jesus says, fear not. Fear is an emotion. Fear is a conclusion of the mind. Fear is a spiritual attack. Fear can be a mental malady. It can even be a physical problem. But in fear, we begin to say, I can't. It'll never happen in my life. Or this is going to happen. Or this won't happen. Or I'll lose it. Or I'll get it. The fear hits us. I'll give you one description of fear. It's like a claw that gets a hold of your inside with long talons and digs deeper and deeper and keeps getting tighter and tighter when you're in the grip of fear. fear. One person said fear feels like when you have a plastic bag over your head. Another man gave it some thought and he said fear is a trickle of doubt that becomes a torrent that wears a deep channel in my mind that drains it of all other thoughts. So when you're fearful, all your other thoughts go. You're consumed by it. Amen. God doesn't want us. He doesn't want His children to be fearful. I didn't look it up, but one man did the research and he said, you take some form of it, fear not, be not afraid. Take some form of it, and there are 365 commands in Scripture not to fear. Amen. He said, the way I look at it, that's one Scripture for every day. Fear not, fear not. Amen. Fear is a battle, but we can overcome fear. Jesus would never say, fear not, first of all, if we didn't have a problem with it. But He'd never say, fear not, if He didn't intend to give us victory over it. Hallelujah. We can overcome fear. Amen. Why would we want to? First of all, amen, with fear, and you can add to the list, amen, Brother Michael, the next one, I believe. Go ahead. Like the old slide shows. Here we go. Here's a reason I can't fear and at the same time do or have God's will. Fear will keep you from doing God's will. How many knows that there are folks cheated out of a blessing every church service because of fear? Fear to lift their hands, fear to pray, fear to come to the altar, fear to obey God. And it's not just a church service, it's all of life. I cannot fear and do the will of God and have the will of God. God brought the children out of Egypt. I've been reading about that in the mornings. Brought them right up to the door of the promised land. But they listened to the report of 10 of those spies and their hearts were filled with fear and they did not enter in to the land and receive the blessings God had for them simply because of fear. Fear will keep you from having and doing the will of God. Secondly, I cannot fear and at the same time be happy. Or we Christians use the word joyful. How many knows you can't have fear in your heart and be joyful at the same time? I want you to know God wants His people to be joyful. Young people, you sang it so well. Be encouraged. Amen. Lift up and praise God. God wants us to be joyful, and I cannot fear and at the same time be happy. God knows that. For many, happy has been sucked out of all of life by their fear. They can't enjoy a trip because they fear a wreck. They can't enjoy a job because they fear they'll lose it. They can't enjoy serving God because they constantly fear He's displeased with them. I feel fearful person is not a happy person. And that's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, can you hear Him say it tonight? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I cannot fear and at the same time believe God. I can't do it. Amen. It's impossible to fear and at the same time believe God. I'm telling you, we've got a lot of situations. We can face them with fear or we can face them with faith. Oh, how many wants God to help us overcome? So instead of facing the situation with fear, we face it with faith. We can listen to our fears or we can listen to the Word of God. Oh, I want to believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Oh, God, help us to believe You. By overcoming our fear. I'm not minimizing anything. I'm an adult, almost 50 years old. There's still things that can strike fear into your heart. But oh, we've got a decision. We can overcome that fear and face that thing with faith, believing God. Fear is the enemy of faith, but faith is also the enemy of fear. And if you make up your mind to believe, fear will be defeated. So how do we do it? How do we overcome our fear? I'm going to do this quickly, but I want to be helpful tonight. Let's just personalize it. How do you overcome your fear? First of all, concede your fear. That means admit it. You know, when you're young, especially a boy, you will not admit you're afraid. You can be white and your mouth dry, and you And someone says, are you afraid? I'm not afraid. Folks don't like to admit that they're afraid. Someone will say, you're scared. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not either. But I'm telling you, if you want to get help from God, start by conceding your fear. Read the Psalms. They did it. If you have a battle of fear, just come to God and say, God, I'm afraid. But what time I am afraid. See, you had to admit that to say the rest of it. I say you have to admit you're afraid to say the rest of it. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Aren't you glad we can admit things to God? You see, I'm convinced we get so little help from God because we're so rarely honest with Him. Just tell Him, this scares me to death. I'm afraid. Secondly, call your fear by its name. You know, fear, we think we're overcoming it by just kind of trying to ignore it. We know it's there. We know it's gnawing. We know it's bothering us, but we try to just deny it by ignoring it. We need to call fear by its name. How do you do that? You just tell God, I am afraid, and I don't know what it is for you, but you fill in the blank. You say, God, I am afraid I'm going to lose my job. God, I am afraid of this happening. God, I am afraid. I have this phobia. Just call your fear by its name. You say, well, I don't have a name for my fear. I have a nameless fear. Well, a nameless fear still has a trigger. There's something that causes that fear to rise up within you. And call your fear by its name. What is it you're really afraid of? We're talking about overcoming fear. And then confess your fear as sin. We're not talking about foundational fear. We're talking about foundationalist fear. Why is this kind of fear sin? For two reasons. Number one, to have this kind of foundationalist fear means that I am not trusting God. How many knows it's a sin not to trust God? Now, I want to back up to say this. We tend to think of sin just in terms of doing evil, doing iniquity, and or transgressing, breaking the law. And sin is all of that, but sin is more. In fact, the Greeks had a word for sin that meant missing the mark. And so sin isn't always doing the evil thing. Sometimes sin is just missing the mark of what God has for us. And God doesn't want us to be afraid. And when I'm afraid, I'm not trusting Him. And so I confess it. I just say it this way. Lord, forgive me of not trusting You and being afraid instead. How many knows there's help with an approach like that? You can overcome fear. Just do it. Father, forgive me for not believing You and letting this fear conquer my life. Fear is a sin for a second reason. Forget what you're afraid of. Jesus said, fear not. Didn't He? And so if I'm afraid, I'm breaking His command. Amen? If I'm afraid. Now, I'm not talking about evil. We're doing it. I'm just talking about missing the mark. And when we begin to confess our fear as being that which is not the will of God and the plan of God, there's help on its way. You see, we're turning to God. And then counter your fear with a promise. Counter your fear with a promise. You know, the devil likes to say things to us to fill us with fear. When he makes a statement, you make a statement from the Word of God. You know, those spies I mentioned a while ago, Sister Brock, you know, those 10 came back and filled the people's heart with fear. They said, we cannot possess God's promise. There's giants there. They'll overcome us. They'll destroy us. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. But there were two other spies, Caleb and Joshua. What did they say? Brother O'Hare, they said, we are well able to take the land because God has promised it to us. And the people had decision. Whose report were they going to listen to? The 10 unbelieving, fearful spies or the 2 believing, faith-filled spies?
And so when the devil comes to you, or just your thoughts go that way of things of fear, respond to your fear, counter your fear with a promise. I don't know if I have these on here or not, Michael, but let me give you some examples. If you have a fear of not having the means, or the money, or the strength, or the ability, you have a fear of not having the means. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You lie in bed, you're full of fear. I don't know if I'm going to be able to provide for my family. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay the bills. And instead of letting that fear eat away, you counter it with the promise of God and say, "Listen here, my God shall supply all of my needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus of glory." Amen. Counter it with the promise. Maybe you have a fear of being left alone or facing problems on your own. Hebrews 13:5, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I mean, this fear hits you. I'm just going to be all alone in this situation. I'm going to be all alone in this battle. I'm going to be all alone in life. Oh, but wait a minute. The promise said, God said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Maybe you have a fear of not being forgiven. You think, "I've done something wrong. I'm not going to be forgiven this time." Counter it with the promise. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'm telling you, this is the way to do battle with your fear. This book is filled with promises to answer every fear. And then combat your fear by drawing closer to God. I don't want to state the obvious, but this will really help us if we'll get a hold of it. 1 John 4:18 says, listen, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." I've wondered about this many years. How does perfect love cast out fear? Well, I'm sure there's a lot of theological answers to that verse, but I want you to consider this. I think parents with children can understand this. Perfect love casteth out fear. You have small children, there are times they wake up fearful. Isn't that right? Children have bouts with fear. And we do what we can. We'll hear them cry out at night. They're terrified by a nightmare. We as parents, we run to the room and we do try to reason with them. "Look, daddy's going to look. There's nothing under your bed. Mommy's going to look. There's nothing in your closet." We try to reason with them. I remember one time Michael was really small and it didn't work too well. He woke up from a nightmare. He's about Andrew's age now, or young. I mean, when I got in there, his face had abject terror on it. And I'm going to comfort him. And I said, "Son," I grabbed him, "son, look at me, son." And when he looked at me, the fear increased. He said, "Your face, your face." So now I send mom, you know. I mean, Micah doesn't do that anymore, but with... Brother Norvell, we try to reason with kids, but ultimately, how does a parent calm that child's fear? They hold them, they pat on them, they love on them, and they say to that child, "Mommy's right here, mommy loves you. Daddy's right here, daddy loves you." You can reason with that child and stand there and give them a lecture while they should not be afraid. But the thing that works, the thing that calms that child, is the expression of the love the parent gives them. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Increase or how did I put it? Combat that fear by drawing closer to the Lord. As you draw closer to Him, you hear Him, you feel Him, you experience Him showing His love to you in a greater way, and His love will overcome your fear. I think of times in my life with great fear, and it was the love of God, not just good reasons, it was the love of God that drove out the fear. Aren't you glad He loves us tonight? Amen. And then comfort others' fears. I have found that when I comfort others in their fears, I feel relieved in mine. I'm not going to go into this tonight, but as a young teenager, I struggled with things like predestination and hell and all that. I just worked myself in a frenzy of fear, thinking maybe I was lost forever and sinned against the Holy Spirit and all that. And I'm not minimizing any of that, but because I struggled with those fears so greatly, as I began to grow and minister, other people had those fears. And as I would comfort them from the Word of God about those issues, I felt my own fears relieved. Amen. Years ago, the Leitners were out on the Navajo Reservation. They're on the border of New Mexico and Arizona, way out there on the reservation. And after services, they would do this all the time, but one time I remember, now I was pretty young, I don't remember how young, but it was real early 70s, so 9 or 10. But Aunt Mill, they had a little car. I didn't get to ask them. I'm drawing this back from 40-something years ago, but anyway. She had a little car, and we took just like one Indian family or one Indian person home. And Uncle Dale had this big old truck, crew cab and camper or whatever, and he took a bunch more way out there on the reservation home. And so we were on our way back home. We was getting home before he did. And this drunk Indian, you can't drive fast out there, Native American, he was drunk. And I don't remember so much he was hollering, but he was trying to get in the car, you know. And oh, we were afraid. And so Aunt Mel got back to the mission house. And I have a sister that was with me there. And Uncle Dale's still out there, you know. He's taking Indians homes. It's going to be a while. And so we were frightened, had all the doors locked. And it's time for bed. So Aunt Mel went and got bed or the couch or whatever. And my sister and I, we got there right there with her. And we were there because we was afraid. And, you know, she is trying to comfort us, you know, and tells us it's going to be all right and everything. And you know, I, as a kid, I thought, man, this is nice to have an adult here that is just really here to comfort and take, you know, help us with our fear. But, you know, as an adult, I get to thinking about, Aunt Mill was probably really glad we were there. And I believe just her comforting my sister and I, that alleviated her fears as well. What I'm saying is, fear can get you wrapped up in yourself, but there's other people afraid. And if you'll reach out to comfort them and alleviate their fear, you're going to see God will minister through you and alleviate your fears as well. I'm about overcoming fear. And last of all, commit your actions to serving God and doing right in spite of your fear. In spite of your fear, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do it. Face your fears. Do the thing you fear. But the scripture I want to leave with you on this point is the one from Proverbs. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Fear is largely a thing of our thoughts. But if we will commit our works unto the Lord, that means we do the thing that God desires us to do. We commit ourselves to doing right in spite of our fear. And if we do, then our thoughts are going to be established. People let fear keep them from doing, and that just increases their fear. Do the right thing, and you'll overcome your fear. Music, would you come tonight? I believe the best antidote for fear is for the believer to realize. The best antidote, Brother Michael, the best antidote for fear is for us to realize that Jesus is in our boat. How many members of the time they were out on that sea and the storm was tossing that boat to and fro, filled with fear? The disciples. Another account, Jesus had come walking across the waves and said to them that were so frightful, he said, "Fear not." On this occasion, he was in the boat with them. They awakened him, and he arose, and he said, "Why are you so fearful?" In other words, what he was saying is, you shouldn't be afraid because I'm on the boat. I've preached this many times, but you got to understand, these were seasoned sailors. I mean, they weren't just fraidy cats. They had been through other storms. These were seasoned sailors, and they were filled with fear. Amen. You could have served God for 50 years, and still there'll be times you're filled filled with fear. Young people, you may lie on your pillow tonight and be filled with fear over this and that and what you face at school tomorrow. But when Jesus said, "Why are you fearful?" He was saying there is no reason to be fearful as long as I'm in this boat. Why? Because if he's in that boat's not going down. That boat is unsinkable. And listen, if you are a believer, Jesus is in your heart. Jesus is in your life. And whatever you fear, you need to say to yourself, "Wait a minute, why am I fearful? Jesus is in this boat of my life. And if he's in the boat of my life, there is nothing that's going to sink or shipwreck my life as long as I've got Jesus on board." I know it's simple, but if we get a hold of it, it'd give us relief from fear. Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." The storm hit, and the disciples said, "We're not going to make it." But I want you to know, if Jesus is on the boat, and he said, "We're going to the other side," we're going to make it to the other side. If you have a fear, you're going to make it to the other side tonight. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is on your boat, I don't care what kind of storm you're facing, you're going to the other side. And when we step on the other side, there'll never be any fear again, ever. Let's stand and thank the Lord. He's our answer to fear. Hallelujah. Let's praise him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we can overcome. Thank you, Lord, that we can have the victory. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. Lord, we can hear you tonight. We can hear you tonight. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Hallelujah. I'm in your life. I'm in your situation. I'm in your problem. Be not afraid. It is I. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not here to diagnose or point out. We're just here to say we all have fear, but we can overcome it with the help of the Lord. Would you like to come and pray tonight and say, "Oh God, I don't want to have fear. I want faith. I want faith. I want to choose to trust you, brother." Jacob was singing and trusting in Jesus. "What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. I'm going to have a bout of fear, but I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to trust the Lord." Bring him your fear, young people. Oh, there's a lot of fears, teenagers and young people, every season of life that we face. But there is victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring him your fear. I'm going to believe the Lord. Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. Hallelujah. It's not going down. It's not sinking. It's not going to shipwreck. Hallelujah. We're going to make it to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let God help tonight. He'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. He'll give you peace in the midst of the battle.